Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Chris is also joining us that he was just sharing, you know, what, how important it is to understand that religion does not save us. Religion does not save us. Jesus Christ saves us. And religion is what put Jesus on the cross. Mm. Religion is what, especially when you start mixing religion and politics, when you start seeing, you know, governmental authority mixing with secular authority, mixing with the kingdom of God. I mean, they used that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Pharisees used the world's leadership to be able to crucify Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Roman government. But they were the ones doing it behind the scene.
Yeah.
It's evil.
Yeah.
Totally evil. As we start seeing these things mix, where the people are using the government to push out their agendas, understand this, that we're supposed to pray and live out the agendas of the kingdom and teach them, and people make a decision for Jesus Christ. And in that, all of a sudden, behaviors begin to change and all that.
Right.
Chris?
I was reading the other day in Luke and about the faith of the centurion. And the word says that the centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal a servant. And what just really stood out to me in that, just that part of it was, you know, the centurion heard of Jesus. He never saw him. He never heard him himself, but he heard of him. And just through hearing the word, he believed.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, in which, you know, Jesus tells us later on when he's talking to Timothy, he says, "You believe because you've seen, but blessed are those who have not seen but yet believe."
Right.
You know, and then you know, the scripture goes on to talk about how you know, he sent these Jewish elders, and the Jewish elders went to Jesus and said, "This man deserves you to do this because of all these great things."
Huh.
You know,
right?
And it's like, we don't deserve anything. What are you doing? Why are you saying this? You know, we don't, you know, we are all sinners. You know, we don't deserve anything. It's God's grace and his mercy. Mm-hmm. You know, and then but Jesus went anyways. Mm-hmm. Which made me think about that. I was like, well, you know, Jesus said many times, he says, you know, the word says, you know, Jesus knowing their thoughts. He knew the thought of the centurion, what his heart was, so that's why he was going. But then while Jesus was on his way, the centurion sent his friends to go meet Jesus and tell him, says, you know, Lord, you know, I am unworthy for you to come into my house. You just say the word, and you know, I'll know my servant will be healed. And Jesus says, I've never seen such great faith in all of Israel. Mm. And, you know, God just began to open this up to me and show me how, you know, It's just not going to happen in religion. Mm-hmm. You know, these, you know, there's nothing we can do. You know, many people are looking for verification of signs and wonders, you know, before they start to follow. And, you know, it's not about, you know, we're just supposed to believe and go. You know, we're not supposed to wait to see fruit happen. Faith is now, not after.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. You know, all these signs come. And
religion is man's attempt to be righteous in his own works.
Right.
Right. Right.
And so then the Lord reminded me of the scripture that says, where Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he says, "You go across land and sea to win a convert."
All right.
But then you put so much on them, you make them twice as much of son of hell as you are.
Twice as much.
Twice as much.
Which means they were, right?
They were.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, and that was just like,
well, how can somebody who is in religion, somebody who's actually in the temple, you know, in God's house.
Well, he said, you know, on that day, many will say to me,
Lord,
did I not do these great and wonderful things?
You know, right.
And it's not about doing. It's about faith. It's about believing.
About obeying.
Right. You know, it's about love. And you're supposed to be walking out in love. We're supposed to be walking in faith, not looking at our works. You know, works is, you know, we've talked about many times, works is just a byproduct of your faith.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not about what you do.
Not earning anything.
It's evidence that you are.
Right. Mm. Right.
That's so good. You think about it. So that means if you had hung around the Pharisees, you not only become what they were, but you become twice as bad as they are.
Wow.
And the question is who do people become when they hang around you?
Mm. Wow.
People say, why don't I hang around people? Mm-hmm. They find out who you really are. Can people stay with you? Can they see you? They watch your life inside and out.
Mm.
If they do they actually begin to do things that God says don't do?
Right.
Because they see what you do.
Right.
Right?
Wow.
Twice as much. Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, just should, you know, God's going outside of the religious boundaries, you know, to be able to find those who believe and who will walk in faith. Because there's, you know, several times in the Word where he says, you know, to those who were outside of Israel, you know, the centurion and then the woman, the Canaanite woman, who, you know, say even the master's, you know,
the crumbs,
right, yeah, the crumbs from the master's table,
right, and you know she wasn't an Israelite, she wasn't one of God's people, right. She was an outsider,
right,
but yet she had more faith than all of Israel.
Yep, she knew who he was, yeah. Didn't she?
Yeah, yeah. You know, and so God's just going outside. You know, to find those who believe him, and he's looking for people, you know, like Moses, the deliverer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul, who was persecuted but yet persevered.
Right. You know,
Joshua, who's going to hold up the hands of the apostles and not faint, not falter, not run away, not run away in fear. You know, God's looking for these people to stand up and believe and follow him and just believe his word.
Right. He's looking for a habitation.
Right.
And the thing about it is not that he didn't want to reach the Pharisees. It's just the fact that they thought they were reached already.
Mm-hmm. Right. They were so full of pride. I couldn't hear.
Yeah, and it's like, that's so sad because, you know, pride blinds you. And you can't see. You're deceived. You think what you're doing is right when you're dead wrong, which should create humility in all of us to think, you know, I don't want to be so confident that right. I can no longer see.
Right.
I want to be confident in who Christ is in me. And, even with the woman with the issue of blood and all the disciples were around Jesus pressed in, and then you had the crowd around them. And then Jesus said, who touched me? And they didn't have a grip and they wouldn't even let her come around anyway if they knew she was coming. And, because she had an issue of blood.
Right.
And the law said this, and the Pharisees would have said, right. They would have said, well, the law says she can't be here, therefore, you know, and it would have kept her away from God.
Right.
And she touched the hem of his garment the way the woman caught in adultery did.
Mm-hmm.
And they both, one was healed and one was, you know, forgiven. And that's so important. It's really important to understand that, and it's not that God is stepping outside of something. He's just finding somebody who wants him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are the temple of God, you know, the he's looking to have that habitation with you. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, sad to say quite often it is, you're stepping out of the, and sometimes it's stepping out of the old wineskin, something that God had done that people are still trying to connect to what God was doing. Mm-hmm. And they can even be right in the context of that, but God's not doing that anymore. And so God begins the new wine. Mm-hmm. And the two don't even cross. And he has to establish that outside of them because they'll actually destroy it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? He says, if you put the new wine in the old wineskin, they'll both be destroyed.
Yeah.
And so if you see God doing something outside of where you are, it doesn't mean necessarily that you are a son of hell, right?
Right.
As we're talking about, it could be the fact that you're just been identifying what God did do. And he's doing a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be willing to let go of all that he did for all that he's doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and behold, the Lord is doing a new thing. That's what he does. He begins to pull out totally from where he is. And he just keeps going. This is the thing, is just be hungry for God, you know, look for God, wherever you got to go, whatever you have to do, for more of the Lord. And, that's a good word, man. That's a really good word. I appreciate that.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
How do you handle traumatic events? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller. Dr. Walt Larimore describes a tragic situation and the different ways he and his wife Barb processed the difficult news.
5 or 6 of the staff were killed, and a couple of others were in the hospital in the ICU. And when we heard that, my response to that was I just needed some time to pray about it, to process it. Barb called her best friend Penny, and we used to get mad about that. Like, why can't she talk to me? Why does she have to talk to Penny? Or why does he go away? Why can't he talk to me? Now we understand that.
Well, it helps to be aware of how God designed men and women, because we do handle life's difficulties in different ways. And rather than letting those differences irritate you, it's best to learn to understand and then appreciate them. Dr. Larimore has more to say right now at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
You know, Greg, you ever had a conversation with a believer and you ask them, you know, hey, what is God saying today? What's the Lord saying to you today? And oftentimes sometimes hear back, well, you know, my pastor preached last Sunday on XYZ. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what did God say to you today? Right. And you get this puzzled look back.
It can be really frustrating as a minister, can't it?
Have
you ever heard this Jesus you profess, you know?
Well, let me tell you, abiding is about what God is saying to you individually, that God desires to speak to you, and he's going to speak to you through his word. Mm-hmm. You know, I love John 10. It says, my sheep know my voice.
Yes.
And I remember when I began to start to abide, mm-hmm. and it was just the most beautiful thing to hear that God wanted to speak to me through his word. You know, if you're out there and you want to hear God's voice and you want to know God in an intimate way and hear what he's saying to you specifically about your situation, because God cares about you.
Yes,
he cares
about
everything that's happening in your life, what you're going through. And the Bible is not a history book, but it's a living book because it comes from the author. And God wants to speak to you directly about your situation and your life and how much he loves you. You know, if you go to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan just to learn how to abide, how to spend time with him and hear his voice. I encourage you to do that. iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
As you're watching society, it's just like, you know, give me a break. You know, give me a break. And I want to be able to be in the bottom of a sailboat sleeping while the storms of life happen.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? I just want to, just prophetically, because everybody is not paying attention. People are being, it's like, blindly stupid. Mm. And this is like, okay, I'm just going to go lay on the bottom of the boat. All I'm just going to sleep on the bottom of the boat.
You can go on the cliff if you want.
Yeah, and everybody's just screaming hard, care us not that we perish. It's like, why are you talking to God now? He's been talking to you for 20 years now. You hadn't said nothing. And now you're going to talk to him when the storm's coming. Listen, they're coming. They are coming so much. We were just talking about that. I've been seeing this vision is that in my spirit now, this is I don't know, but this is what I'm seeing is that Satan will not be satisfied. And you can account for those that are held captive by him to do his will until every single child that's even thought of is destroyed.
Mm.
That every marriage is destroyed, every form of gender is destroyed, everything that God says is good is called bad, and anybody that raises their head and waits too late, they'll be bait. They'll just come and devour the ones who stand for righteousness. This is the difficult thing that's going on. Communion is what you take, you know, he said, do this in remembrance of me. He would take the bread and he would break it and he would put it on the, he would just pass it and they would eat it. And they would eat the bread and say, this is my body broken for you. And this is what we all do. And then we would drink the wine. And he said, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant. And they would drink that. So communion is what we do as Christians to remember Jesus and his finished work on the cross. Well, they're not going to be satisfied until printed on the communion wafer, the words Plan B. I mean, they're giving abortion pills to 15-year-olds on the store counter right by the aspirin. I mean, why do you want to kill the child's baby at 15? They don't even know. Why don't you just raise it? I was listening to a spoken word out of England, and some people would call it rap, but really it's a poetic spoken word and music. And he was talking about, yeah, you criticize us, talking about young people, you criticize us for and tell us not to abort our children, but then you shame us for having a child as a teenager.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's, you know, that's all demonic. It's like, come on, let's just get back to how it really was, that if, you know, God is the one, the creator of life. And then when a child is conceived, birth it and raise it in God's way. Mm-hmm. And you can't be on both sides of that equation, you know, shaming people and criticizing people who are being tempted to take their child's life. At the same time, gossiping and finger pointing at the child that decides to have, or the person who decides, that single mother who decides to have, which side are you going to be on? Because if you're on both sides, you're on Satan's side. Mm-hmm. You know, and you have to realize that, look at the Word of God, read about, and there's a reason why God had everybody, all of his people written about in the Word, so we can find out that we're all broken people, that we've all made mistakes. I mean, think about it. The wisest man that ever lived, Solomon, the son of David, came from the beginning of his parents' relationship was enveloped in adultery and murder. It was King David fell to temptation when he saw Bathsheba, and Bathsheba was Uriah's wife, another man's wife. Mm-hmm. And he just wanted, and he's supposed to have been at war. And this is why, let me tell you why you're getting in so much trouble. Because we're out here alone. If you'll come out here and help us, yeah. If you'll get on the front lines, because we're at war now, spiritual war, that you won't, but David was supposed to be at war. But instead this is where bondage and captivity happens, when you are not on the front lines of war. That's where critics come in. That's where the people come back. Well, I don't like the way, you know, where are you? You know, type of thing, criticizing people, how they're actually, and you're doing nothing, you know? And so, it's that look, right?
Right.
And so Solomon, the wisest man, the one that wrote the book of most of the Proverbs, Song of Solomon, that he built the temple of God where God dwelt, that his parents were adulterers and his dad was a murderer. Mm-hmm. But yet he was a man after God's own heart, whose lineage where Jesus comes from. And if you saw who sat around King David's table, you would see a whole bunch of broken people that have been all these things that happened to them. And that's us. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is wherever we are at the time when we find God, we find out that we're in sin, even though we were walking with God, that we turned away from God, and we find out, we realize that, hey, we got to turn back to him. He'll take us as we are at that moment.
Right.
You know, and that's how we have to work that out. Now, we don't try to say we're following God and using the world's principles when we follow God by following God's principles. And with that, you'll find out the true people who want to follow God or not. But he empowers us to be able to do that. And so if that's where King David and Bathsheba, who bore a son, their first son died, by the way, and if he would have died before they got married, they may never have been married. I mean, think about that. If Uriah was at war, and what happened was that David had committed adultery with this man's wife, the man was a soldier for him at war, and he finds, she comes to him later on and says, I'm pregnant. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many Christians begin to look down and just say, it's over, you know, I can't believe you've done this, and just all these different crazy things, like they're righteous in their own works.
Right.
And so he begins to take that same kind of mindset, and he starts thinking, how can we work this out? So he brings Uriah back, and the husband of Bathsheba, and says, you know, go back in from the war, mm-hmm. go back and sleep with your wife, and and just take a break. Well, he was so dedicated to King David. He's like, I can't, and the soldiers out in the field. He said, I cannot, and wouldn't it be great if people were that dedicated to God?
Amazing.
That they would say, you know what? I cannot receive any self-pleasure at all as long as I know my brother's on the front line fighting. Mm-hmm. I have to be there with him and with her, my sister and the Lord. And so I believe that day's coming. And he wouldn't do it, which obviously if she's pregnant, he's going to try to make it look like it's Uriah's baby. Mm-hmm. And how many times we have the temptation to say when we sin or we make mistakes to try to do like Adam and Eve and just start trying to cover it up and just take it to God and say, you know, I've failed. I made a mistake. I've sinned and, you know, forgive me. And eventually that doesn't work. So long story short, he just basically sends orders out to Joab, the head general, and says, listen, put Uriah on the front line. Trying to cover his own sin, he had another man killed. Mm-hmm. But think about that. How many people hate someone so bad? Because he says hating is murdering, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what they're really trying to do is cover up their stuff. And just instead of saying, hey, you know, I've sinned and I'm falling short. God, I need your help. And so he had him killed, you know. Which I think is a pretty cool general too, because he didn't question the orders.
Yeah.
But God knew what was happening. And so later on, God sends Nathan, a prophet, and tells him, you know, why would you have done such a thing? And then, of course, David issues justice. How this is how it should be done. And then Nathan says, well, that's cool because this man's you. Mm-hmm. And yeah. At that moment, he fell to his knees. He realized against you and you only have I sinned. It was murder. It was adultery. His wife was pregnant with a baby early on and lost that baby and even prayed to God for that baby. And just a mess. And understanding that's who we are. We're just a mess.
That's right.
But if we turn to God, he empowers us. He forgives us. He restores us. And somehow through his amazing empowerment, he empowers us to be able to walk rightly before him. We can take no credit for it, but that's how you know when somebody knows God or not, because they're able to walk in obedience to God because Jesus empowers them through his spirit and their total dependency on the finished work of the cross of Christ. And they're able to walk out what a religious person can only do on the outside, but can't do on the inside. It's a powerful, powerful thing. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back after these messages. Oh, we're just talking about the reality, how that, you know, we are broken people, reaching broken people to introduce them to a whole unbroken God who chose to be broken on the cross for us to take our place. It's just a powerful thing, and that we can't be on both sides of that equation of what we're talking about with criticizing someone and judging them for having a temptation to go have an abortion and kill their child. Mm-hmm. And then criticizing them for having a child as a single parent or having a child as a teenager, for example. It's like, which side are you on? Are you on the child side? You're not on the child side if you're thinking, you know, that way.
Right.
The child side is like, hey, you're saying, you know what? I'm willing to raise this kid.
AB Mobile Mechanics. Fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps. On-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good Southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. Blue Angel, hot tubs, pools, and spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I was just listening to Paul Keith Davis talking about, you know, how God said, he must have said to Lucifer, he says, hey, you took one of my best men when Stephen was stoned. And he says, I'm going to take one of yours. As a matter of fact, listen up to this. This is just awesome.
By about 35 AD, two years into the Pentecostal movement, Stephen is stoned. I actually had I saw that experience myself in a visionary encounter where I saw Stephen being stoned. I saw as Stephen was dying, he looked up into heaven just like the Bible says. And in my experience, the Lord stood up, as it says in the Bible, but he pointed his finger at the devil and said, that one is going to cost you. And it did. I saw this undeniable link between the stoning of Stephen and the reaping of Paul. The devil stole one of God's great men, so God stole one of his. Don't think for a minute that Lord's going to let anything get away. And in my revelation, the Lord said the devil would have been better off leaving Stephen alone. But now he's got to deal with Paul. And Paul is still a thorn in his flesh. And everything Paul did for the kingdom, Stephen shared in the inheritance.
That is so awesome. I mean, think about it. Everything that Paul did in the kingdom that Stephen shared in his inheritance is a revelation that God had given him, Paul Keith Davis. And it's just so often you think, oh my goodness, they took this man or woman of God out. And you think, begin to pray for the one that took him out, understanding that God was going to meet Saul on the road to Damascus. He's like, okay, all right. You don't see the bright light you saw in Stephen's face, you're about to see on your road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
And he took Saul. He didn't say, hey, let me tell you, Jesus saves. And if you want to make a decision for the Lord today, I got five fingers. This finger represents this, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff people do. He just said, boom.
Bam.
And Saul goes, Lord, Lord. And he's like, right. You know,
get on the right side.
And the organizer became the organized that day. Mm. And it's a powerful thing. But I love that, you know, Satan regretted the day that he ever took Stephen. And there's men and women of God that you, if you understand that right, because Saul was so toxic that when he got saved, nobody wanted him but God. But he was the answer to everybody for God.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how toxic he was. He was such a, you know, he was too Christian to be sucked by the Jews and too Jewish to be sucked by the Christians and, you know, and all that. And here he was now having to go to a people and nobody wanted him at first because they were scared of him. Even the very man that was Ananias was going to pray for him.
You want me to go where?
You want me to go where
and pray for who?
Are you crazy?
Come on now.
Well, I don't know if he said about the crazy part. Yeah. But
Right. I'm sure he thought.
Wash me, Jesus. Think about that. That the fact is that look what God did with the very one that stoned Stephen. Over half of the New Testament was written by Paul. Let's begin to lift up our heads and realize God can save the hardest of sinners, the ones who are dogmatically set against Him. That if we'll pray for those that are held captive by darkness, God can set them free on the road to Damascus while they're riding their horse. God can knock them off their horse and show them His awesomeness, and they will immediately give up their ability to organize and say, organize me.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I want to talk about Jesus. I mean, he's always so good to talk about. But I want to talk about Jesus. And I want to talk Jesus as the divider. Yes, you heard correctly. Don't turn off the computer and don't change that app. Jesus the divider. You may be familiar with Jesus as the uniter, but what about Jesus as the divider? I mean, there is a division that Jesus most definitely approves of. In fact, the only division, Pat, Chris, the only division that Jesus approves is dividing anything or anyone that would divide you and his church from him. I'm going to repeat that again. The only division that Jesus approves us is the dividing of anything or anyone that would divide you from the church and from him. I mean, the word divided means to separate into two parts. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Do separate here, cleave, to cleave it. You know, just to put a little chopping between that thing, and now you have two parts. Mm-hmm. And in Matthew 10, this is Jesus' own words. He says, "Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth." In fact, you know, in Luke, he says, "Do you think that I come to bring peace on earth?" No, no, I tell you, but division. But division. "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I have come to turn a man against the father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." I love Jesus' words because they're just so real, so authentic, so raw. And he's just telling us right from the start, listen, it's all about me and you. There's nothing that can get in between us. There's no legitimate man-made reason or excuse that would allow anything to divide you from me and me from you. We're called to be together. And Jesus gives us this wonderful privilege of unity, this wonderful privilege of being one, oneness with him. You know, when you think about the word division, the prefix di, D-I, means two. And it's about pulling apart, right? A separation. God is interested in becoming one with us, just like the same unity that he enjoys with the Father. That's an amazing privilege when Jesus Christ wants to be one with you. Now, this is a jealous love. This is a jealous love because he will definitely want to divide and separate those things that would separate and hinder love and hinder unity and hinder this oneness. Now, there's some things that the Lord most definitely wants to divide, and especially even some relationships that the Lord wants to divide and separate from you. I mean, think about it. Relationships seem harmless at first glance, but in the end, this relationship is going to separate you from your walk with God and have a bad influence on you, then God wants to divide it from your life. The Bible says that bad company corrupts good character. It could be a family members. And we're not talking about divorce here. We're not talking about separating a small child that you're responsible for. Right. You can't divide the child from yourself, okay? That's your responsibility before God. We're not talking about, well, you know what? I want to get rid of my spouse. No, Jesus is not for the separation like that, okay? Mm-hmm. But we're talking about family members, maybe external family members, right? Where there's a separation occurring, that there's influence, and there's people's voices, that the people who've not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, even well-meaning, let me tell you something, you got to guard, you got to be careful who's speaking in your ear. I mean, if Jesus himself was almost turned in his ministry and was could have been tempted not to go to Jerusalem because of Peter's proximity and what Peter said, is there any relationship that we have that could be potentially, if they're not separating us now, but could have that potential because of what they choose to say, the access that's been given to them can separate you. Think about this, separate you, divide you from Jesus. Jesus has a sword. Mm-hmm. Jesus has a sword. Now, there are mindsets that God wants to divide from you. I mean, think about it. Any mindset that would try to cloud your vision of God, any mindset that would hinder your walk with God. I mean, people get attacked all the time that maybe God doesn't love them. God wants to divide that from your mind, okay? Wrong mindset.
Right.
Let's get that out. But because they have been so condemned and the enemy has lied to them so much and they feel so unlovable, they even wonder, could God even love me? And God's saying, I love you. I'm going to put a sword in between that. I'm going to divide that thought and separate that thought from you because we're supposed to be united. Let me tell you something. God wants to divide sin from you. Any sin that will take you down, any sin that will pull you away from God, he wants to divide and separate. And when you think about unity and you think about how much God is into unity, think about the unity between a husband and a wife. I mean, there is a unity that God definitely does support and believe in. It's a biblical Christ-centered unity, right? Mark 10, 6 through 8 says, but at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one. I mean, God, from the onset in biblical marriage, God's saying, listen, you two separate individuals need to form and be forged into one, to be united with each other. No longer two different ideologies, two separate ways of life, that you need to bring this thing together and have unity and be united in your thought, united in your values, united in the things of God, united in how, the culture for your home. You need to be one because anything divided will fall, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord talks about having a unity amongst the church. There is a unity that the Lord definitely believes in, Christ-centered biblical unity, that the church must be united. How about the unity with the individual believer and with Jesus? Let me tell you something. We were created. We were created to have a personal relationship with God. God is not the man upstairs. God is not your co-pilot. He wants to be your very best friend. I mean, Jesus experienced this unity with the Father. I mean, they were one. They were one. And he desires to have this same unity with us. In fact, 1 Corinthians says, do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one spirit with him.
Right.
How amazing to have the opportunity to be one with God. This is a jealous love that God has for us, right? To walk with him in intimacy, to walk with him in truth, to no longer to be divided. The Word of God says that you have been given the mind of Christ, walking in such unity with him that Jesus' own character is being formed in you. To be so united with God that when people see you, they can see the Lord. They can see God all over you.
Yeah.
You know, we know somebody that they just ooze so much love. You just want to go up and say, dude, can you just hold me?
Yeah.
Can you just hold me right now? Would you consider that awkward at this moment? I mean, it's just the love of God on that person's life, the unity they have with the Lord, the oneness, it just permeates off of them. And you're just like, wow, I just feel the love of God. And that's amazing. And that's what happens That's what happens when Jesus and you become one. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. Think about that. And if you want to know what God is or what God is like, all you need to do is look to Jesus. God wants that special place with us. He wants a special place of unity. He wants a special place of connectivity with us, that he's the first thing on our mind in the morning we wake up. He is the last thought on our mind when we go to sleep, that we live with a God consciousness and awareness that he is ever present, that he is aware, and that our whole life's purpose, our whole reason that we exist and go to work and do all the things that we do is to bring him glory, that we bear fruit, showing, proving that we are his disciple, that we belong to him, he belongs to us, and that we walk with God. I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today that if you haven't experienced this oneness with God, didn't even know that this was possible. I want to tell you, I want to remind you what Jesus has already said in his word. Listen, come to the place of unity. Come to the place where he can be one with you and you can be one with him and experience the love. Experience what he had with the Father and allow his character to be formed in you, that you can be a channel of his love wherever you go. What the world is waiting for, is for those who love the Lord, those who have accepted the Lord, to allow the Lord to move through them each and every single day. You know, I still think, fellas, that it's still WWJD.
Yeah.
Remember that WWJD? What would Jesus do?
That's right.
But I think we can change one of the W's. It's not what would Jesus do, because that's thinking about, like, you know, what he would did long ago when he walked the face of the earth, right?
Mm.
Well, Jesus hasn't gone anywhere. He's not on earth, mm-hmm. right? But he lives inside of the believer. How about if we change that to not what would Jesus do, but what will Jesus do? What will I allow Jesus to do through me today? What will you allow Jesus to do through you today? In order for Jesus to move through us, we must decrease and he must increase.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
So what is this stuff now? I know that, you know, Steve was leaving last night. We got a chance to spend some time together. He was in the secret place and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And you got him some slap your mama hot sauce. Is that right?
I did.
Are you serious?
I did. Yeah.
What is slap your mama hot sauce? I can't believe that you would even think of your mother is so sweet.
Well, it's not something you actually do.
Well, actually.
What?
Mother bought her own slap your mama hot sauce.
Are you serious?
She did. I was blown away. I found it in my cupboard the other night. I was like, where did this come from?
So your mother bought you slap your mama.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
So then, I'm not going to buy any slap your mama. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like, slap your mama. You know? Why do they call it slap your mama? So why not?
Well, there's a southern saying, I guess you would call it.
If we get any further south, we'll be in Mexico. We're talking about southern. I don't know about
slap
your mama. Yeah,
we'll probably Louisiana more than anything. I guess it kind of drifted over here to the east. But, you know, when something's so good, it's just like, man, it's so good. It just makes you want to slap your mama.
Did your mama ever get you something nice for Christmas or anything like that? That's terrible. You mean if something good happens, you slapped your mother?
Well, no, food. Something that you eat.
Didn't she fix you dinner and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Was anything good?
Yeah, all the time.
Bless her heart.
Bless her heart.
How many times did you slap mom?
You slapped your mother?
I never slapped her.
You said, but it's a Southern way of doing things.
That's a Southern saying. That's what saying.
Shoo.
Yeah, I was like, oh my goodness. I'm thinking, that's terrible.
I never knew.
Yeah. My mother would say, well, he bought that once. He bought that once. He ain't buying that no more.
Yeah, I said it to obviously. Steve one day. We were fixing to eat something. Mm-hmm. I think it was one of Christmas ribs,
actually. He's from Detroit Lions.
He's from Detroit. And they don't have, apparently, they don't have hot sauce or anything spicy up north. So we've indoctrinated him to hot sauce since he's been here.
So what does it taste like? What does slap your mama taste
like? It's just real hot, spicy, you know, Tabasco-y.
If you had to compare it to nuclear waste and...
Not quite that hot.
So it's hot, hot?
That's toxic. It's really hot, yeah.
Is it really?
You probably couldn't. You probably wouldn't like it.
Like that wasabi sauce?
Wasabi?
Wasabi?
That's a different type of sauce.
Oh, wasabi.
Oh,
wasabi.
Whoa. I love that. You're wasabi. That's very good. Chris seldom he seldom says anything wrong. We got to get the wasabi.
Yeah.
The wasabi.
We can make a segment out of that.
You spell that wasabi. So it's hotter than?
Wasabi?
Yeah.
It's a different type of heat. Wasabi will just clean your sinuses completely out if you have any problems.
Oh, we don't need any details here. What happens with your system? So why don't you just like throw a match in your mouth? I don't understand why you're doing this. I mean, if you eat,
it's just I enjoy the burn.
You're a fire swallower, like the guy in the circus where they swallow fire, right?
Not quite.
You think about it.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to me. It was Second Street.
Always goes back to Second
Street. Yeah, Second Street, or Carver. Anyway, we won't talk about Carver. So I'm looking at a bottle right now online. It is called Slap Your Mama.
Yes, it is.
But they have powder Slap Your Mama and liquid Slap Your Mama.
Yeah, I bought him both, actually.
You did?
I got him the powder and the sauce.
Well,
it's seasoning, you know, you put on your stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it. Well, it was just a new thing for me. I just didn't realize. When I saw it, I said, oh, it's hot sauce. And you're telling me, like, slap your mama. I should have read it. I could have bought some for my mama. That would have been terrible. Well, Steve, don't slap your mama. She's a very sweet lady. Very sweet lady.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Time is just wonderful, isn't it? What a gift from God that we've been given, this wonderful gift of time. I want to encourage you, you know, that, you know, you have a limited amount of time. I mean, a limited amount of time to be able to bring God glory in your life. A limited amount of time that, I mean, you know, watching the 15th series of Star Trek, that just might be out of, it might be out of kilter there, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you have a limited amount of time. We don't know how much time we have left on earth, and those that are believers, those that have made Jesus the Lord of their life, you know, we're going to be hanging out and have eternity to talk about what we did, or maybe hanging our head for what we should have done but didn't do. And with that, you know, we want to be able to encourage you that, you know, make the most. And that's what VFN Radio is here for, and also VFN TV. You know, we think about VFN Radio as the torch, you know, to be able to bring light to your day-to-day life about what's going on, getting God's perspective. And VFN TV is the sword. You know, it is the sword of God's word and the teachings and precept upon precept and prophetic words of what's happening and how to live your life and what's going on. And so you literally have the torch and the sword we have here for you to be able to encourage you, to empower you, to be able to be all that God's called you to be, so that when you do stand before the throne of God, and we all will, you know, that you won't have regrets. You won't regret. And there's two regrets. John, there's two regrets everybody has at the end of their life. I don't care who they are, whether they are wealthy or whether they are poor, wherever they grew up, you know, wherever they didn't grow, I mean, whatever it was, whatever it is, whatever, how big influence they had in this life or not, they normally have two regrets. The first regret that they have is, and you know this, when you spend all the years in law enforcement and ministry, I have, you know, it's just kind of understand that. And remind me to tell you something else a friend of mine told me that works with the hospice of what he said as well. he summed up something that was very important. But he says they have two regrets. They have two regrets. The first regret is they wish they would have done, they wish they would have done more for their family because they're about to leave them. You know, they say, this is what they say. They say, bring my family, buy my bed. You know, and you have all those regrets. You think, oh, I should have been a better mother. I should have been a better father. I should have been a better son. I should have been a better daughter. You know, I should have been a whatever. You know, you start thinking about all that. And you can eliminate those, by the way, by doing, you know, seeing that day is going to come and do what's right. You can eliminate tomorrow's regrets today. And the other regret that people often have is I wish I would have done more for God because I'm about to see him. See, it doesn't matter. I remember there was PBS did a special on a man that he was an atheist and he was just going to go ahead and, you know, self-assisted suicide, but he was actually going to take his own life, you know, where somebody giving him the stuff. And so they videoed this whole thing. And this man was just, you know, when he had his energies and he was up, he was totally convinced in his own mind that, there was no God. And he's just going to do it because he had a terminal illness and he was going to go ahead and just take his life. But they followed him the whole time, you know, and as it got closer and closer to that day, he bailed out on his beliefs.
Oh, wow.
Because he got really, really nervous. You know why? Because every man knows, I don't care who you say you are, you know. You're about to stand before the throne of God. Your life is about to end, and instantly you're going to be with him. You're going to be with him. And he knew it. And I'm thinking, man, this is long, drawn-out, depressing documentary, you know, but just the Lord of the Mark, just watch it. And we'll watch it to the end and see what he does. At the end, he started questioning his own beliefs and said, well, I just don't know now. Well, you were so confident.
Yeah, right.
But now you're hours away from being standing before the throne of God. Listen, everybody bails on the end of that doctrine. Don't listen to them. They bail on the end. They bail on two doctrines. That doctrine that God's not real because he is, and they know it. And at the last moment, even though they deceive many, they're confronted with that reality. And the other thing they bail on is that if you said a prayer somewhere, then everything's okay. You know, because they realize all those things that have been told to them at that point, they know whether they've made it right with God or not in their hearts. They know that.
And it's so true.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, it reminds me, and you remember this, when I was a chaplain intern at the LSU Medical Center, and I would go around and in this internship, I had the chance to go, and I lived in the hospital, and I prayed for all the patients that would come on in. It was so cool. It was a great chance just to minister to them and bless them. And no matter what their condition was, Greg, no matter, I mean, I've ministered to people that were on their way on a vacation. And this one family, the SUV flipped, and a 14-year-old daughter just flies out the window. And you had the entire family spread on all different floors of the hospital. And just to be able to minister to people in their time of need. And it was amazing. The greatest thing that I found is exactly what you're saying, Greg. I remember a young girl who disobeyed her parents, and they told her she couldn't go out to the party. She left to the party anyway. And her ex-boyfriend saw her talking to another boy out at this party and shot into this party. And he missed the boy and shot her 7 times. And she lived. And she lived.
Wow.
And as I'm going up and down these floors all day long, I lived in the hospital. The one remarkable thing that the Lord continued to show me was how much he loves his people. You know, I went into one room where this man was in intensive care. He could barely just, I mean, I don't even know if he was alive. I mean, he was just
He was showing you how much he loves people.
Yeah, he loves people.
Because presently some of those guys had not yet made him the Lord of their life.
Well, correct. Yes, they had not, right.
And so he loves you. God loves you, right? And that's what you were saying, right?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And he wants to give people a chance. Mm-hmm. He wants people a chance to give their hearts to him. But he wants them to know that he loves them. And I went to this one person that was in the hospital intensive care unit, and apparently he had been in jail because there was a security guard, a corrections officer, right there in his room. I mean, Pat, where was he going to go? He was connected to everything. He wasn't going to go anywhere. And yet I was thinking, you know, and just praying and real silent over this man, and And I just started thinking, I said, you know, maybe this guy has never even darkened the door of a church, or maybe he's even cried out to God, but God, you love him so much that at this particular time you've allowed me to come into this place and talk with him and share with him the love of God. And that's what it's all about. It's about reaching out to him and knowing that he loves you.
That's right. It's totally, totally right. And, you know, and quite often people have darkened the doors of buildings and they haven't met the church, you know, the people, right, the believers. And here they were, you know, in a hospital about to meet the church because you were there, you know, serving and ministering there, and which is it was a pretty wild place at that time. Do you remember that?
Very wild, very wild. But at that moment, it's amazing how nothing else matters. You know, when the person would come on in and, you know, ambulance, I would be right there in the emergency room, and I would be the one to look through your wallet, your purse. And,
what?
And
you were looking through their wallets?
Yes,
dude,
yes,
you were robbing them in the emergency room? What's up with
no,
that?
No. I was looking for the next of kin, so the whole family would come on in.
Oh.
But it's amazing how everything that was so important before is no longer important now.
Isn't it?
You know, all these other ideas, all these other plans, you know, and that's all that they care about. At that last moment, mm-hmm, when it's all said and done, mm-hmm, you know, what have I done for my family? Because I'm getting ready to leave them. And do I know God? Because I'm getting ready to. Why wait? Why wait for that moment? Oftentimes I'm talking to the people who says, well, you know, I'm not ready. Well, what would it take? If you lost an arm, would you be ready to come to God? If you lost a leg, would you? And I've heard people say, well, yeah, you know, if I was crippled or if I was disabled, maybe I'd come. Well, why wait for that moment to come? Why not give your heart to a loving God that loves you? I tell you, he loves you, and you can accept him today.
Yes, most definitely, most definitely. You know, so I just want to encourage you that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life, and it's good. It's a good plan.
Oh, my goodness. Auntie's. Listen, if you're looking for some barbecue, you got to go get some ribs, some pulled pork, and so much more in Cantonment. You don't want to miss it. Highway 29th and go north and let your nose lead you the way. The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today. The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from Rex to Specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guy today so you can see. Mark Downey & Associates is a unique real estate firm that specializes in property management and high-end home sales. The secret to the success of this multi-award-winning firm is simple: aggressive marketing and intense passion for serving others. If you're looking for a team of professionals that ensures the total satisfaction of their clients, contact Mark Downey's team today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.